This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Some interesting testimony this week. And I found it interesting the way that the defense of Karen Reed continues to try and push the narrative that there's something fishy going on here. Somebody's doing something that they shouldn't. Ultimately, it goes back to there's some sort of conspiracy that was created within 5 minutes of all this happening, and everybody got together and nobody's cracked and everything is still together. They were going after Kate McLaughlin earlier this week, and it was some interesting testimony. There's little nuggets in here that kind of feel like, okay, maybe you're not being completely truthful, but at the same point, you have to understand maybe why. Maybe it's not part of a conspiracy, just, you know, maybe she's just not that close with Caitlin Albert because she's in a picture with her. Let's take a look, first of all, at the testimony where she was asked about her relationship with Caitlin Albert. This is firefighter Kate McLaughlin.
Ms. McLaughlin, who's Caitlin Albert?
I went to high school with somebody named Caitlin Albert.
Somebody named Caitlin Albert?
I went to high school with somebody named Caitlin Albert.
So do you know Caitlin Albert?
I do.
You're friends with Caitlin Albert?
I would say more acquaintances, not close friends.
So what was your reaction to that, knowing that, you know, they know each other probably a little bit more, but maybe it's not a whole lot more than that.
Well, I have to say, and first of all, I completely believe the testimony of this witness, a firefighter McLaughlin, regarding the statements that Karen Reed made, mm-hmm. not just because she's saying them, but because it's corroborated by all these other paramedics
yes.
and firefighters that have their careers on the line to mm-hmm. commit perjury against somebody they don't even know.
Yeah.
So for these reasons, I believe her statements about Reed saying, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him." But aside from that, I wish she would not have answered the question this way initially. Mm-hmm. I went to school with a Caitlin Albert. It comes off a little bit like she's irritated, and she should have just said, I think what she was trying to do was make it specific. Are you referring to the Caitlin Albert I went to high school with? That's, mm-hmm. I think she should have just cleared it up that way.
Yeah.
Instead of almost being a little cagey at the
yeah.
beginning.
Yeah.
And then this whole line, I think she's just so irritated that somebody is trying to make somebody that she has a lot of mutual friends with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're in a photo, I don't care whether it's a, you notice everything is sort of an occasion. It's not yeah. an intimate photo doing something with somebody, but it's all these photos are her with multiple individuals. And even if she's the one standing next to her and they, you know, draw it in, which they've done, like their arms around each other, and then they just crop out all the other mm-hmm. people there. It's so deceiving.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think because they just battered and berated and over asked the same question, I don't know if people, I think the defense maybe drove something home that she has some relationship with the Alberts, with Caitlin Albert in some way. And it's disappointing. I wish she would have just been stronger and said, I don't care how many times you play this, I'm an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Those are the types of responses, but these people have likely never testified ever in their lives, mm-hmm. and they're getting berated by the most high dollar, well-versed trial attorneys that know how to just turn somebody's testimony inside out.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, she should have just owned it. Like, yeah, I know who she is. The caginess is what kind of makes, I think, a lot of people go, And why are they doing that? Well, because she's one of many who heard Karen Reed say, I did it. Let's take a look.
She answered who the patient was, his birthday. I think she answered the maybe some of those initial medical questions that I asked. She was, but as I said, she's very distraught. She was kind of moving around the scene a little bit. So I was like just kind of following her, and then we came to a stop at one point, and I continued to ask her. Or I asked one more question.
What was that one more question?
So at that point, I asked her if there had been any significant trauma that happened before this.
What, if anything, did she say?
So she said, "I hit him." She repeated it. There was a woman standing across from her who I believe at that point said, "You're hysterical. You need to calm down. You're hysterical." She repeated, "I hit him." And there was a police officer who was in that vicinity kind of with us who replied, "You what?" She repeated it one more time. And that officer then signaled to somebody, "Get Goody down here," which I'm assuming would be the sergeant.
So the defense of Karen Reed is trying to say, because A plus B are here, this must equal C. But they're not truly playing with A and B. Just because this person knows this person, has some similar friends, is going in similar circles in a small community, in the law enforcement, in the firefighting, in the emergency services community, it doesn't necessarily equate to, "I'm going to go and put my career on the line and create a cover-up for this person that I just showed up to see and try and rescue." It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't make sense, especially, as I mentioned, in light of the corroboration of not only the paramedics that were there, but also law enforcement that was there. And one thing that is, you know, unfortunately, if nobody has been on a scene like this, that's in that jury pool or that's in on the jury or even listening to us now, in these chaotic situations, people move in and out of the scene. People get things from their cars. People go warm up. It was absolutely blistering, freezing cold with 20 plus mile an hour winds, a blizzard. And so as you go in and out of the scene, there are some officers that didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. There are some officers that heard other things. And then the paramedics didn't hear that thing. It's because of people's proximity to Karen Reed when she made these admissions. All of them said she was wandering around the scene. She was hysterical. And I found it very interesting, this little nugget that McLaughlin says when she says, and one of the people with her, so that's going to be either Jen McCabe or Kerry Roberts, basically says, "You're hysterical." And how I read that when I heard that was she's trying to get her not to make admissions, almost like, "Oh my gosh, are you saying what I think you're saying? You know, calm down before you get yourself in an issue."
Yeah.
And now the person that I think they were sort of trying to protect from her spontaneous utterances, she is turned. And of course, now she's blaming them all being on a conspiracy for murdering John O'Keefe in the house. I found that very ironic.
What would look much more conspiratorial is if every single person there said that she or that they heard Karen Reed say that. That would look very odd because no one would hear every single thing that everybody is saying. Everybody's moving around, like you said, and not everybody did hear it, but the people that were by her at certain times did. So it makes logical sense the way all this played out. It seems what they're arguing of, well, these people didn't hear it, so it must not have happened. Well, that would be very bizarre if every person heard it.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.